avoid burning my stomach with it for the moment. I do desperately need a caffeine shot, but I do not need third-degree burns. I've never understood the reason why office vending machines produce beverages at temperatures hot enough to trigger nuclear fusion. Could it be that it's a way of quietly bumping off incautious employees and saving the bosses a bit of money?
"So, did you have an interesting night?"
asks my boss with a chuckle. The dark circles under my puffy eyes show just how committed I am to my job. I am a journalist, and I am responsible for writing about the nightlife of New York City. And needless to say, I am as meticulous about my job as is humanly possible. "Well, you know what they say," I reply with a wink. "Friday night is the new Saturday night." He raises an eyebrow and shakes his head.
"What a load of bull. When I was young, Friday night was just a night like all the others. Those were the days. We didn't need Fridays to always be epic. But I guess that only goes to show that I'm old," he mutters quietly. "I'm not really up to date with the new trends in nightlife."
"It was getting married that did for you," I tease him. "I know you used to be the king of New York's nightlife back when you were a young buck."
"Yeah, right. And which marriage are you referring to exactly?"
he says, playing along.
"The first or the second?"
It takes a hell of a lot of self-confidence to be able to joke about your own life that way. Not many people would be willing to give that much about themselves away, and that's why I respect Roger so much more than I ever actually tell him. At the end of the day, he's still my boss, though, so it's wise not to pay him too many compliments. "The second, of course," I say with conviction. "It made you too happy, and happy people are really annoying."
"What a dumb thing to say,"
he scolds me with a chuckle. "Okay, maybe I meant more boring than annoying. Really boring," I insist in the tone of someone who knows what they're talking about. "Come on, don't you try and deny it." Roger looks at me with a benevolent smile.
"Aren't you a little too cynical for a 32-year-old woman who's never been married? I mean, you need to get a good 2 or 3 divorces under your belt before you're eligible to join the Holy Matrimony Haters Club, you know."
"Ha, holy? That's a good one, boss."
"What can I say? I'm a funny guy,"
he agrees.
"What I said before is still true, though. You're too cynical, and it's not even lunchtime yet. Hell, Kayla, what am I supposed to do with you?"
I shrug and don't bother replying. It's 8:30 in the morning. I wasn't even supposed to be working this Saturday, so I'm not really in the ideal mood to try and engage in this kind of existential conversation. I feel like I've already been nice enough just showing up in the damn newsroom after I got his message. The truth is that I like Roger, even though everything is always terribly urgent for him. And he likes me too, even if I, unlike him, have never met something that was so urgent it couldn't wait. We are absolutely chalk and cheese, but luckily we work well together.
"Ah, forget about it," he says, giving up. "Let's get down to the important stuff instead. Are you still determined not to write anything about the new district attorney?"
He has the resigned expression of someone who is obliged to ask the same old question yet again, but has no expectation of receiving a different answer, and rightly so. "I sure am. You know that Amalia's my best friend. I could never write articles about her and her partner." He gives a resigned sigh.
"Okay, sure. I get it. But it would have been a great opportunity for you to start writing about new things and moving your career forward. Pretty soon, you're going to be too old to party all night and write about where to get the best cocktails in Manhattan,"
he points out, trying to put it as gently as possible. "Hey, whatever you might think, I can assure you that my readers are way more interested in drinks and parties than they are in Middle Eastern affairs," I reply. "And unfortunately, we both know I'm right."
"Well, that ought to tell you something about the world we're living in,"
he replies, sounding disheartened. "A journalist isn't supposed to judge. A journalist's duty is to simply tell the truth and allow the readers to make up their own minds. It was you who taught me that," I remind him. He shakes his head again.
"You really are a piece of work."
I hope that he means it in an affectionate way, but I'm not 100% sure he does.
"So anyway, since you can't write about the city's politicians, what would you say to going on an assignment?"
he asks. My ears perk up and I start listening with more attention. Roger has never sent me anywhere before, even though I've asked him often enough. The furthest I've been was a theater out in Queens, the Westchester.